This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight in College Park, it feels like one of those nights. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, there is no better environment than College Park, Xfinity Center, or way back in the day, Kohl Fieldhouse, for a huge Maryland basketball game. And it feels like one tonight with Michigan State in town. Terps are 3.5-point favorites in the game tonight at home against 8th-ranked Michigan State. Maryland's ranked 16th. They are on a roll. They are playing at a very high level right now. It's probably the best we've seen since 2020, if not since 2002. That's not an exaggeration when it comes to how good they are offensively. Tonight on the call right here on your home for Maryland basketball, the Team 980, Johnny Holiday, Chris Nockey, and the Wizard, Walt Williams, will be on the call. 6 o'clock pregame, 6:30 tip. Before we get started on the game tonight, I watched something the other day. I don't know if you've watched it. It's the We Beat the Dream Team, HBO. It's about the Dream Team when they lost the scrimmage to the select players in 1992. You know, that team included, like, they brought in Weber and Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley and Rodney Rogers and Eric Montross, Allen Houston. Have you seen that documentary yet?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Here's what I was wondering. Did you try out for that team?
I did not. I don't know why I wouldn't have, but I did not try out for that team. I don't know if they had a trial process or rather than just selection.
That's ridiculous when I think about it, because it's actually a very good documentary, Denton. It's worth watching. It's called We Beat the Dream Team. It's on HBO. It's the story of the college players that scrimmaged the original pro players, Magic, Bird, Michael, etc., that 92 Dream Team, and they beat them in a scrimmage. And as I was watching it, I don't know what made me think of, like, I'm thinking, well, there's no Maryland player, but why wasn't Walt? You know, we were on probation at the time, you know, coming off the Bob Wade situation. So we're on probation, and Walt Williams, most of you know, is in many ways the, you know, he was a young man at the time, significantly responsible for keeping the program afloat during the probation years and making it much easier for Gary Williams to recruit for the team that came off of probation and that ultimately, you know, went on a run of Sweet 16s, Final Fours, and a national championship over a long period of time. But that's interesting, because you were the leading scorer in the ACC in 92, right? That was the year that you had 7 straight 30-point games?
Well, yeah. So, you know, I averaged, I think, 27 a game overall, but even in the ACC, I believe I averaged 30 points a game against ACC competition. So
right.
I never thought about that myself, but you know, when you bring that up, absolutely. I think it was some type of selection process. They certainly didn't have a trial. I was not invited to any trial or anything like that. So,
yeah. I mean, you should have been, but it was probably, Walt, because on probation, remember, that was the season we couldn't even be on TV. You know, your prolific scoring season, I listened to on the radio if I wasn't in College Park for the games. I mean, that's how, you know, rough it got. So maybe I say this with so much respect and love because you were an incredible college basketball player, and Walt ended up being, you know, a very high draft choice. He was 7th overall in the 92 draft, picked by Sacramento, and had a long NBA career. But if you had played at Carolina, Duke, or Michigan that year, you would have definitely been on that team.
Well, you know what? We did get opportunities to play in a tape delay at midnight on Sunday
right.
sometime.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. You've been watching this team just as long as I've been watching this team. I think, and I said this about 2 weeks ago, I said, I think this team has Final Four potential. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you look at them, the makeup, they have multiple perimeter guys who can score from the outside, hit the three, create their own opportunities, create for others. You have two bigs that are dominant inside that can score the basket inside. You can play up-tempo transition offense. You can play half-court offense. You have a kid in Dirk Queen that gives you a dynamic element to your team where he can get rebounds and then push it on a fast break like a point guard. Not only does he handle the ball well, but he can see the floor like a point guard as well. So it takes your transition opportunities up to the next level. And it also makes it so that you don't have to rely on your bench to score when you have so many guys that can, when you're starting lineup, that can put it in a hole. So you more so lean on that bench to come in and making sure that there's no drop off, making sure the defensive intensity is there, or even gone to the next level, you know, so the loose balls and things like that. So I think what they've been able to do offensively has been very impressive, and it relieves what the bench has to do offensively normally in situations. So the Terps are just about every game outscored in bench points, but it doesn't really matter because the five, the starting five nullifies that because, you know, the reality is that these guys are, not only do they average double figures, all of them, but they're capable of getting 20-something points on any given night, any one of those five guys. So, they are a real threat to take over games, every last one of them.
Dirk Queen, best freshman since Joe Smith?
Oh, yeah. That dude is just amazing, man. I find myself falling out the chair a lot watching him. You know, his ability to see the floor, his poise. He doesn't get sped up when the defense is aggressive against him. You know, he has that slow motion type of poise game. And, you know, he's just surveying out there. He's making great decisions. And so it's just a matter of time. But when he adds the jump shot to his game, I mean, it's just going to be off the chain then. So the only thing right now at the college level he needs to make sure he's in tune to is just, you know, maintaining focus throughout the whole game. You know, sometimes when the game comes easy to you, like it seems it does to him, you can lose focus and not be in tune to what's happening in the game. And so especially at this time of the year, you want to stay focused and be ready and in tune. So you see it in times where he'll have a game like 27 and 15. But if you look at that game, you'll see in the first 15 minutes, 16 minutes, he might not have scored a point.
I know.
So he's getting 27 points in a matter of 22 minutes or something like that. It's just amazing, you know. And so, you know, if he can make sure he's focused and zoned in throughout the whole 40 minutes, man, I mean, he's a dominant presence already, but it can absolutely go to the level.
You know, Kevin said recently, and I had him on the show the other day, that he said if he were white and European, he'd be the number one pick in the draft. the funny thing about that, though, is he doesn't stretch the floor. You know, with his shooting, he doesn't shoot threes, but I think he can shoot threes. What do you think?
Well, yeah, when you look at his form,
right.
He has good form. He has good technique, so it's just a matter of time. I think it's just the number of reps. You know, when it becomes your job, you know, you'll see him go to the next level with that. But you make a great point. A guy that doesn't have a jump shot now, you put him at the power forward position and match him with Juju, you think that those two guys are not going to be able to mesh together. It's going to be too bunched up in the lane. But his ability to handle the ball and create. So when guys are lag off of him, he takes up that space, and he has tremendous footwork around that basket. So if you give him that room, he could take up that space, and then he's close to the basket where he can just operate. So he makes defenders push up on him, even though he doesn't have a jump shot to create that spacing that you need to play with two big guys like that.
You know, when you look at this team right now, is there a more important player than Gillespie?
Oh, man, he's certainly have a tremendous importance there. Not only him leading the charge offensively and the point, you know, setting up things, but what he brings to the table defensively on the opposing team's point guard and getting them out of sorts and running their offense. He's a tremendous asset in that. Him and Rodney Rice and Selton, I think that they're underrated in terms of what they can do on the defensive end and controlling guys on that perimeter, all three of those guys. But I think Gillespie, you know, what he can do offensively, I think he was underrated coming into the season. I don't think people realize what he can do, how athletic he is, man. I mean, this dude can fly. You know, his handle, he can create and get into that paint area. I want to see his floor vision. I want to see that go to another level. But, I mean, he's adequate. He's a decent floor general as well. And, I mean, when he shoots the ball, I mean, it looks like that jumper is so pretty, man. It looks like it's going in every single time he shoots it. You know, he has that nice, beautiful arc on it. And so, man, he's a tremendous asset. And he's been consistent pretty much all season as well, being able to create, being able to space the floor, hit timely jump shots. He's not afraid of the moment at all.
We're talking to Walt Williams. He'll be on the call tonight with Johnny and Naki, Maryland and Michigan State right here, 6:30, 6 p.m. pregame. Rodney Rice, there was not like a belief when they got him from Virginia Tech out of the portal that he would be as good as he is. I've said, in the last couple of weeks, I'm like, I think I'm looking at, if he comes back, which he will, hopefully to College Park next year, it's going to take some cash, I would assume. But am I looking at a future first-round pick?
Well, I tell you what, he is a good size. He can handle the ball. He can create his own shots. He can break people down. I don't know if he'll make a living at the two. In the league, he might have to have that combo moments where he can play the point and the two, and I think that he can do that. You know, certainly defensively, offensively, you know, it remains to be seen a little bit more creativity off the dribble. But man, he's on his way. The thing that he has is, I mean, he can score at all three levels, but his mid-range game is just sick. You know,
sick.
And that's the hardest part to stop. When you're shooting the long threes, catch and shoot, you know, you push up on the guy and try to crowd his space. When a guy's going to the basket, you try to make it difficult, ride his hip, help side comes. But when a guy can stop on a dime and pull up, there's no answer for that. You just got to hope that he miss. you know, and he's consistent with that. And I think that's what the separator for him. That's why you got to take a serious look, because this dude mid-range, you know, he brings it. And then after saying all of that, he guards the opposing team's best offensive wing player. So he's a lockdown defender as well, man. And, you know, when you can score like that, he's had a couple of games where he had 20s. And when you can score like that, sometimes it overshadows what you do defensively.
Talking to Walt Williams, have you ever seen improvement? The free throw line's the obvious spot, but overall – the improvement from Julian Reese from where he was his first 3 years and where he is this year?
Oh, man. I mean, the jump from his junior to senior year, I mean, that's like, I mean, a 40-inch vertical right there, leap right there, man. I mean, on so many levels. You talk about his free throw. I mean, that free throw in the past, it looked crazy. And now it's just on a whole new level. It's consistent. He's very comfortable out there. And for that drastic change in your shot to come, not only that change, but it's a natural. You can see he naturally shoots in one motion now. And so that takes a tremendous amount of work to change something like that, your natural shot. So that's just a testament to his work ethic and him zoning in and wanting to get that done. But on another level, you know, his maturity has just gone to another level as well. In the past, a lot of times I walk away from games thinking to myself, you know, Juju was playing with so much anger or upset because somebody was playing hard against him or physical or whatever. You know, this is just normal stuff out here. And it seems like he couldn't catch up to the maturity, the mentality of playing at this physical level.
Right.
But now, second nature. I mean, he just gets it done. He wants that physicality. He has fades to the right shoulder, left hooks. He got a little float game now, a little mid-range. I mean, so he's all of these things he did not show at all in the past, and he's showing on a consistent basis in just this one season. You know, so, I mean, you got to take your head off, man. This dude has made a tremendous stride in just one off season in just about every aspect of the game.
Selton Miguel's got to be a guy after your own heart, because he's open right when he crosses half court. I mean, there's not a shot he's looked at that he doesn't think he can make, and it's true so far. I mean, don't you feel like at any range that thing's gone in?
Oh, yeah, man. It's just, you know, those guys are shooting the lights out there from the perimeter, and more importantly, even when they miss, it looks like it's going in.
Right.
So, yeah, man, and Selton has been probably the most consistent guy from the three-point line lately. You know, he had a rough start to the season, or, you know, his overall numbers don't reflect what he's been doing as of late. You know, I think that he's a guy, a good size, 6'5 or so, strong. I mean, he can shoot the lights out. Early on, you saw him spot up shooting, going to the driving to the basket to the right a lot. Now, you know, he's pulling up threes off the dribble. You go underneath the screen, he's pulling up. He's getting to the basket with the off a left hand drive. He's pulling up in mid range. So he's really expanded his game and really shown what he can do. And you expected that from him, a guy coming from the league. He came from coming off the bench, leading his team and scoring. You knew that he was a guy that can put the ball in the hole. So the biggest thing that he brings to the table, though, is his leadership. It seems like when he says things out there on the court, the team really takes a hold of it. It seems like they have a different look or a different mentality when he's talking to them. So, you know, he's really surfaced as a vocal leader, him and Julian as well. So those two guys have stepped it up as in terms of being leaders for the team as well.
Terps have won 8 of 9. They are on a roll, haven't lost at home since early November when they lost to Marquette, who at the time was a top 10-ish kind of a team. Does the lack of scoring off the bench concern you?
Nope, not at all. Like I mentioned earlier, I mean, these three guys can literally catch a heater and get 20. You can get 20 from each one of them. You know, that's how much they can score. So they averaging in the teens and things like that. But any given night, each one of them can score 20. It's nothing to be said for Gillespie, Rodney, and Selton hitting three or four threes, you know, any night. In the same night, you know, and when things like that, when the jump shot is falling, and then that gives Juju that room to operate in that paint. And then Derek, you know, he's just a wild card. He does everything out there, pretty much, the mid-range, rebounding, scoring around the paint. So, I mean, I just think these five starters can just score from so many different areas, and they are consistent with it to the point where I don't think you rely on bench scoring like you traditionally would on a team. It's an amazing thing to say, but I think that they can score at a rate that you don't need bench scoring. You can always keep two to three starters in a game at all times, you know, and so you're going to have scoring. Like I said, it's just about when you come off that bench, what is it like defensively? Do they take the team's defensive intensity to the next level? That's their impact, really. So yeah. You don't need the scoring from them. The starters can take care of that.
Couple of more for Walt Williams. We both think that this team's got deep into the tournament potential. What kind of team don't they want to see in a one and done? What's a bad matchup for them?
I don't see the problem. The teams that they've had problems with is if they have one dominant guy, and if the game is close at the end, they've had problems with stopping a dominant wing guy down the stretch if the game is tight. But I mean, you know, I just think that those are anomalies. I mean, you know, you can take care of that by taking care of business throughout the course of the game and not having it come down to one or two plays made at the end of games when a dominant player can take over. And also, they've been playing much better on the defensive end in these last two games ending the season, and I think that's what's leading to them finishing up on an 8 out of their last 10. They've won 8 out of their last 10, and I think it's because defensively, they've gone to another level. And so they, to me, they're looking like they're playing their best basketball of the season right now.
That's interesting that you said that, because I thought the first half against Iowa, when Iowa put up 51, I was thinking, because I think they're a good defensive team too, but I think at times it looks like they just feel like they can outscore anybody, and so they go into those lapses defensively. Am I right or wrong?
Well, I mean, if you look at it in comparison to the previous two Willett seasons.
Yeah, of course.
But I would counter that with, it's a psyche, right, that when you're out there as a player and you know we cannot score, defensively, you know, you just, the sense of urgency, you just go to another level when you know you can't score on the other end. Now, when you can score on the other end, you're shooting it from everywhere. We got guys who can do that thing, you know, psyche-wise. You know, it's not as much of a sense of urgency. Now, we're going to work hard, and we're going to pay attention to where we're supposed to be rotating and give that great effort. But just a natural sense of urgency out there, it is not the same when you know you can't score as compared to, man, we can go down here and get a bucket just about any time. We're going to have a mismatch with somebody. You know, so I just think that sometimes that rear its ugly head at time for this team, but overall, I think that they've been solid towards the end of the season and keeping guys in front. Like you look at that Iowa game, I thought that they were over helping on the wing, right? And so in the second half, they made that adjustment towards the end of that first half to don't over help. Don't help unless people need it. You know, stick to your guy. Make sure you're not giving up those draw and kick lanes. Right. And so it was just a fundamental thing that changed right there. And they were lights out. It was more contested shots that Iowa were taking in that second half.
How big of a game is this tonight? How good? I mean, I'm expecting it. You and I both, and Maryland fans know and can kind of feel when the building will be great. I know it's a 6:30 start, and sometimes that hurts the beginning of it. But this is the biggest game they've had in a few years, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. When you can win a game like this, I mean, that is just awesome. You know, so I think that, you know, win or lose, I mean, if you win this game, it'll be tremendous. If you lose, it's not that big of a deal because they've been solid, and they're going to have some other games to finishing out the Big Ten season to make up for it. But just mentally, number 16 against number 8, you know, Michigan State is at the top of the totem pole when it comes to the Big Ten. And so this is a great game. You're at home. You're dominant at home. You're going to have your crowd behind you. So this is a great, great, confident building game for you. And I'm talking about going into the Big Ten tourney and going to NCAA, you know, jockeying for those positions and things like that. This can be a tremendous boost to your confidence and understanding that you can beat a team the caliber of Michigan State. They have, you know, what, 7-8 guys that can score, you know, and so they bring a different type of challenge to you. Not one I would say that's real dominant, but you know, all of them about the same. You know, there's no real drop-offs in terms of guys who can score the basketball and what they can do out there. So they have about 7 or 8 guys that can all put it in the hole. So it all presents this challenge. But I think the Terps are set to, you know, I'm glad that this game is in a home environment where they've been playing their best basketball. And like I said, I think this can do a tremendous good for their confidence.
One last thing. Do you know, I mean, it's crazy that this is year 11. It's now 11 seasons in the Big Ten since the move to the ACC. Do you miss not having a true rival?
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, that's what college basketball is all about, you know. Of course you love to see good basketball and great basketball, but it's nothing like the rivalries where you have that real, real hatred for another team. And, you know, the trash talking just go to another level. The anxiety or the anticipation of getting out there, getting the game started. I mean, it just all go to another level for not only the fans, but the players too, the coaches, everyone. And so, you know, those type of games are so spirited, and, you know, you hate to have those type of games fall by the wayside.
You know, I was a guest on another show earlier in the week, and I said that there's never been really a feel for any other team as a rival. We've probably played more big games against Michigan State since being in the league, and maybe Purdue, but we've never had a big, you know, late season game against Indiana, really, not at home anyway. So hopefully it works out tonight. I'll be there. You'll be on the call. Hope to see you. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Absolutely, my man. Good talking to you.
You too. Walt Williams, everybody. He should have been considered for that 92 Select College team. If you haven't seen that documentary, it's pretty good. It's only about an hour long. It's a show documentary, and it's about the scrimmage where the college players beat the Dream Team. There's actually a couple of big reveals in there that I didn't know before. But Walt was certainly good enough to be on that College Select team. He was probably... he probably was the leading scorer in the group among all the players on that team. All right, Kevin Willard's keys to a win next.